every 2 years in Olympia, Greece, there's a ceremony where people kindle a flame using only the sun and a fancy mirror, like kids starting a fire with a magnifying glass. This flame, of course, becomes the Olympic torch. And this year, it traveled all the way from Greece to South Korea. And, you know, there's always some theater, some show that goes along with the lighting and the passing of the torch. I remember I was 7 years old watching the 1992 opening ceremonies in Barcelona when that guy shot a flaming arrow from the bottom of the stadium way up to the cauldron. It was awesome. I remember watching in 1996 when Muhammad Ali, quivering from Parkinson's, lit the torch in Atlanta. Sure, the Olympics is about competition and sports, but there's a flair for the dramatic. This year, the Olympic torch was carried by 7,500 different runners representing the 75 million people living in the Koreas. The torch went on a cable car, on a steam train, on a sailboat. It was even carried by a robot. The torch relay has a flair for the dramatic. A flair for the dramatic. Heavenly chariots of fire and horses of fire. This ancient relay, Elijah and his protege Elisha, go from Gilgal to Bethel, to Jericho, and then across the Jordan River and into the wilderness. All along the way, Elisha, the young prophet, stays close to his mentor Elijah, the seasoned prophet. Elisha is not quite yet ready to take on the grave responsibility of being a prophet himself. Elisha is not quite yet ready to carry the torch, to pick up the mantle of leadership. That is until, with a flair for the dramatic, when the chariots of Israel and its horsemen sweep Elijah away. And Elijah's days of prophesying have come to an end. Remember, this is Elijah the prophet who showed the priests of the other gods that there is no God but the God of Israel. This is Elijah the prophet who stood down the evil king Ahab. This is Elijah the prophet who raised a widow's son from the dead. This Elijah, the Elijah of might and power, the Elijah of leadership and strength, the days of Elijah the prophet are over in a dramatic flare. But the days of Elisha, the new prophet, are just beginning. Elisha, this new prophet, will cleanse Naaman the Syrian from leprosy. Elisha, this next generation prophet, will name the new king for Israel. Elisha, this next prophet in a line of prophets, will raise another dead boy to life again. The story is saying, take heart, O people of Israel. Though Elijah, the elder prophet, has been carried away by the chariots of fire, God has provided a new prophet for you, Elisha. And sure, this new prophet is not exactly like the old prophet, but Elisha will also do the work of God. Take heart, all you gathered here today. Though the generations pass, though our loved ones come and go, though once great leaders have been carried away and new leaders are raised up, all is not lost. God will provide. The mantle of leadership, Elijah's mantle, passed to Elisha. This is where we get that phrase, the mantle of leadership. A mantle was a cloak or a shawl. Like an Olympic torch relay, it must pass on. And Elijah passes it on to Elisha before he's swept away into the fiery chariots. The mantle of leadership passes on to a new generation. So on the Scout Sunday, earlier at the 9 o'clock service, we had all of our scouts here. And before every Scout Sunday, I meet with our Cub Scouts to talk about the church and all the funny names we have for everything in here. This past Tuesday, we talked about what I do and what the church does. We talked about leadership. After I thoroughly impressed all those young boys by telling them that I am an Eagle Scout, one of the boys asked me if I was still active in Scouts the way I used to be. I was honest. I said no. I had carried that mantle of leadership for a time, and then I had to pass it on. Elijah and Elisha show us the first lesson in leadership. Always be thinking about your replacement. The mantle is ours for a time, and then it is ours to give away. This is hard work. There is great temptation for the ones who have led for a long time to hold on for even longer. For one reason or another, they can't let go. That's when things start to stagnate and run afoul. But perhaps most of all, we fear that our protégés will do it differently than we would have done. We fear change. The rising leaders may do it differently. We saw this recently in Boy Scouts, as there was the decision to include girls in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. It was a tension of generations. It was similar to a tension we experienced in the Episcopal Church 40 years ago when finally, after 2,000 years, we got around to ordaining women to the priesthood. It was a tension of the generations. We heard the older ones saying, that's not how we used to do it. That's not how things are done around here. But we heard the voice of Elisha, the new prophet, with that new mantle of leadership saying, yes, but this is a new thing, and God is always doing a new thing. And I thank God that the voice of Elisha prevailed and that women have a full and equal place in our church. So where do we stand now? In this time of societal change and upheaval, the story of Elijah and Elisha is a lesson to take to heart. To those of you who are Elijah, the elder leaders, trust that what you have done and taught is good enough. Trust that as God was present in your leadership and in your time, God will still be present in the future. The Holy Spirit does not need you. To those of you who are Elisha, the rising leaders, trust that what you have been taught are good lessons learned with hard experience. Be strong and courageous. Invite the Holy Spirit to call you forward as the Holy Spirit is always calling us forward. And wherever you are on the conveyor belt of life, remember that we are always moving forward whether we like it or not. The conveyor belt of life is what I call it. We're born, we're raised, we go to college, our children are born, our parents die, we have a midlife crisis, we retire. The conveyor belt of life will stop for nothing. You can try to jam its gears, you can hold on to your mantle with an iron grip, but even then, eventually your own death will loosen your hold, and that mantle will be passed on whether you are ready or not. And since we are always moving forward, you may as well have the courage to face the future today. To have the courage to raise your children up in your place. Do not wait for tomorrow to teach your children how to pray, or how to spend their money, or how to follow Jesus, or how to die. Do it today. Pass on the mantle, for you do not know when the chariots of fire are coming for you. And have the courage to let go and to let other people do the work you have trained them to do. Invite someone else to take the lead on that project at work. Train someone else to do what you do. And do it today. Because one day the whirlwind is coming for you. And if it is your turn to pick up the mantle, do it with courage. For if you do not pick it up, if you do not follow Jesus, if you do not carry on the work, who will? Like the Olympic torch relay, the mantle is yours for a time, but it is not yours forever. Everything we are and everything we have belongs to God. And as God freely gives to us, we must freely give it away again. And when you put it that way, it sounds like love, doesn't it? This is the story of Jesus. It's the story of the cross. Jesus trained his disciples to carry on the work of ministry for when he had ascended into heaven himself, not unlike Elijah before him. He opened wide his arms on the cross and gave away all the love that he had so that we could give it away again also. And perhaps that's the key to the story. Perhaps that's the key to Elijah and Elisha and the key to good leadership. It's all about love. As God has so freely loved us, we turn right back around again to freely love God and love our neighbor. And without love, we will have the courage to change. Amen.